Reel 3, Ed Geno, July 6, 1973, Fairbanks, Alaska. You pronounce your name Geno.
That's right.
Geno. Mm-hmm. I keep wanting to say Juno. We were just talking about your first winter up on the 40 mile.
Well,
you went up with Pete Palmer, but you didn't stay with him that winter.
That's right. Well, anyway, we were doing well, sniping, what we call sniping, working on the river, rocking.
Yes.
Oh, we'd make an ounce a day. As long as the river at a certain stage, if it got too high, it couldn't make so much. As a rule, people didn't do it. Great deal of sniping except in low water. Very shallow bedrock there in some parts of it. And if you couldn't make an ounce a day, not many of them worked. There weren't too many snipers, but there were a few. And anyway, I got instructions from Pete how they did in the winter and so on. I followed them. But the ground that you could make, you cut the ice, you see. And you could work spots that you like. But the ground you could make an ounce a day in the summer in low water, you couldn't make $2 a day in the winter. So much extra work. You had to cut the ice unless it happened to be freeze low enough that it was bare bedrock.
You'd have to cut the ice away and then chip out the gravel and
the bedrock. Had to thaw it with wood fire.
Wood fires.
It's too shallow to use steam. And wood fires, quite a lot of work to it, and even for the rocking, had to heat the water and watch and everything. It wasn't an easy job. And anyway, ground you could make an ounce a day in the summertime, thought, might make $2 a day in the winter. Same ground. Of course, we only got $16 an ounce for gold then.
Yes.
And anyway, the first winter, I by myself in an old cabin, not too old, but I didn't build it. Oh, I found a spot to. I found you couldn't make it in the summer ground. You had to get better ground. I could ice different places. I couldn't find a pastry that I could do any good for a month or two. I was living on rabbits, too. Boy, lots of rabbits. Caribou didn't come around that year. And moose was scarce. Oh, the years after that, moose and caribou both got thick. But right then, we didn't get any. And I was living pretty cheap. My only meat ration was rabbits till I got tired of it.
Well, you had other grub, though. Coffee and flour.
Oh, yes.
Did you have a sourdough pot going?
You need meat, though.
Yeah.
I'm meaty. Yeah.
Did you have a sourdough pot going?
Oh, had plenty of cooking utensils, yeah.
No, I mean sourdough starter.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
could hardly get along without.
Yeah. That first winter you spent by yourself.
Well, I began to get pretty hungry for meat, except for rabbits. I got so tired of rabbits. There were a lot of rabbits, so. See, they die off every 7 years, they claimed then. I think that was the year they were dying off. There were a lot of them. And finally, just about Christmas time, or somewhere along, I guess it was a Christmas gift, I hit a good spot. No more rabbits. I could go to Roadhouse. There was a Roadhouse and store on both sides of me, about 10 or 12 mile one direction, 6 mile another.
So you could buy some meat.
Oh, brother.
What?
Plenty. Well, you couldn't get fresh meat, but you'd get plenty of hams and bacon.
Yeah.
And later on, even meat come around, caribou. Yeah.
Did you stay that entire winter by yourself?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So you
did
were
pretty good after all.
But you had
and neighbors, I was though. Breaking in too. Yeah. I was
you
learning.
Were a greenhorn.
I was breaking in, but I didn't have any help except what Peter told me.
He told you how to dress in the winter and how to.
Well, that part you have to figure out for yourself. But how to burn. We used to call that burning.
Thawing the ground.
Yeah.
And you chopped all your own wood?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, I really got good at all of that.
But you finally
made a man out of
myself. You had neighbors, though, on either side of you. 12 miles,
right where
miles.
We were, we didn't have too many neighbors within, well, 3-4 miles. Oh, 4 miles to nearest neighbor. Over in later years, that last war, all those, the river was practically burnt out, you might say. During that last war, the wife and me had to go about, the nearest neighbor would be about 75 miles.
75
miles. But we never got lonely.
Yeah.
But I worked underground then on my own ground.
I see. Mm-hmm. But after your first winter, then did you find a partner after that, or were you by yourself most of the time?
I had one good partner one winter, Pete Palmer. Pete Donnelly. Oh, he was a prince. Yeah, we had a good winter too. Really good winter. When we divided in the spring, well, we didn't intend to split up, but Pete had I knew his ways, because I knew him quite a while before we partnered up for the winter. We were supposed to go 50-50, but I had the place, I mean the spot, and I had the grub. Of course, I wouldn't charge him for what the grub I had. He'd been prospecting on another creek. And I liked Pete, even to start with. And we were supposed to go 50-50, and if we needed anything, we'd go 50-50 on that. Well, we never needed any grub, hardly anything, or winter I had it. We divide up in the spring, a pair of scales. Oh, I'm getting ahead of the hound. I knew Pete's habits. He had to go in and blow in at least once or twice a year. We had a bad spell of weather towards before spring, before the breakup. A cold breeze. We couldn't do any good sniping. I says, Pete, now is a good time for you to go into Dawson. I knew we had to make the trip. And he says, I thought so myself. Well, we divided the dust, or I did, 2 piles. And table alongside a window like this. All right, Pete, take your choice. I made 2 piles. Good piles. You mean one of those of mine? Sure, you know, the agreement, verbal agreement. He takes one pile and half of it he puts over the other pile. And those are the only, oh, whatever you'd call it, cruel words we had that whole season. I says, I was kind of sore. I says, now, Pete, you know the score. Now look at the job you give me again. We have to divide that again. He didn't say a word. Good natured. So I did. I waited again. All right, take one of them. It was a little josh. I was sorry for myself for making such a remark to him in the manner. Mm-hmm. He was such a good man. He'd been to South Sea Islands, stranded down there, different. He'd tell me. You could believe him every word.
Yes.
That time there was a, the Iditarod stampede was on. And, he tried to get back to, in the spring. And you couldn't get through the canyon, the 40 mile. I knew at a certain stage you can't get through there. I was told later he waited quite a while. So he just took a boat and went down to Iditarod. I heard later he killed himself down there.
At Iditarod? But what? Go back to the two piles of gold dust. The second time you waited, did he take his
one pile? Oh, yes. Yeah. But I could tell by his attitude he didn't like it.
He didn't want to take...
He didn't figure he was entitled to half
of it. I see. That's an unusual...
Oh, yeah, but he was that kind of a man. Yeah. Oh, lots older than I was.
Well, the Iditarod stampede was about 1908 or 9 somewhere in there?
Somewhere around 9 or 10, mm-hmm. 9 I think.
Then you mentioned your wife. Tell me when you were married.
1920.
1920. And was she from Alaska?
Just our next door neighbors when I was a kid. But she wasn't born when I was a kid.
Oh, that back in, she's from Texas.
Yeah.
She was your neighbor in Texas.
That's right.
Well, did you make many trips outside? Before
not
you met
many,
her?
Not many, but only made two or three trips to Texas, and then they'd moved to Arizona when we got married.
What was your wife's name before she married you?
I forgot.
Her maiden name.
Well, I tell you, her name was Deck, but she didn't like it, so I called her D all the time.
D. But her name was Deck?
Deck. D-E-C-K.
D-E-C-K.
I don't blame her for not liking
it. Yeah, that's an unusual name for a girl.
Well, I called her D all the time.
So you, on one of your trips back to Texas, or was it Arizona that where you met her, or...?
No, they'd already moved to Arizona. And, I had a friend there, too, close by. That was when I was working for the government, Navy Yard.
Was that during World War One?
That's right.
I see.
Or just after. I didn't get a discharge until a year or so after the war.
Well, you were drafted in Alaska?
From, I can't think of the name of the place. Anyway, I was sent to, this place in...
Yeah. In California?
But anyway, in Solano County. And you can't think of the name of the place where it was. This was the Army. But they were shorter riggers. Oh, before that, I was river pigging on the Susitna River.
Keeping
the channel open for navigation.
River pigging.
That was the name of the occupation, river pigging. We're getting 103 of us, getting 197 and a half a month and subsistence. We could eat anywhere that was handy to eat, otherwise we had to do our own cooking, but we'd get anything we ordered to. And patrolling the river, keeping it open for navigation.
Did you have to dredge out some spots of the river?
I had to blow out a lot of big stumps at times.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big cottonwoods. There's a lot of big cottonwoods down that.
How many seasons did you work on the Susitna?
Just one season.
Just one season.
Yeah.
So you had some experience with some boats, and I guess, is that why the Navy took you?
Well, I suppose. They were shorter riggers, yeah, they say, and that's what I was discharged as a rigger.
But you went into you were drafted.
Drafted in the Army. The Navy didn't draft.
Yeah, but where were you when you were drafted? Were you up in the 40 mile?
That's what I'm trying, not Fairview, but
Fairmont?
No, not Fairmont. Let's see. Well, it doesn't matter too much. It's in Solano County. The county seat of Solano. Well, Vallejo, that's where I was sent to. The Mare Isle Navy Yard. And I didn't get a discharge till a year after the war. That's when Dee and I married.
1920.
That's right.
And then did you stay in California or Arizona? Or did you come back
to
Alaska?
I tell you, I got a hold of some hill ground there. 10-acre patch of rough ground in the Berkeley Hills. And I built a shack on it, improved it. And in the spring, well, anyway, after I married, Dee came with me. Got a late start that year, 40 mile. But after that, she stayed outside. I was improving that place in the winter times. And she stayed with her mother stayed with her, rather. Her mother was a widow. And I'd go out in the winter and improve the place, which it did. Then in 26, I think it was, we swapped it for a farm, a cotton farm. We were used to cotton, both of us, down in the southern part of California. Let's see, I'm trying to think of name again.
Was it near Los Angeles?
No, about a couple of hundred miles north of Los Angeles, but anyway, the name would come to me.
So did you go back to cotton farming?
Well, I tell you, we tried one season, then leased it out. Oh, I made a good deal. We had the place paid for, I mean the Berkeley Hills. but this place we traded for, and we got $4,500 boot. A nice, improved place, well kept. But I tried one season, but I had to come back, and at that time I held some ground in the 40 mile. I had to come back and do the represented, which I did. Well, we leased the place out, 40 nice acres. I got pictures of the place. Oh, it had 5 acres of grapes and 5 acres of almonds. The rest of it, cotton. Mm-hmm. Beautiful spot, too. But we leased it out, and the panic came on. We couldn't even get enough rent out of it to pay for the taxes. So we sold it. Oh, well, it's a poor life. Dull life.
Mm-hmm. More fun looking for gold on the 40 mile.
Well, nobody could have lived a better life than we did on the 40 mile.
Well, did Dee go with you then to the 40 mile?
Yeah, but somebody had to stay outside for a while. Yeah, she made one trip, but after 27, well, we sold the place in 26, I think. Neither one of us went outside anymore. Her mother had passed away and so on. Nothing to go out for.
So you just remained on the 40 mile?
That's right. Well, most of the time, yeah. Oh, we did make a trip or two. Oh, went out in the 30 or 31, we were going out for the winter. And we got as far as Seattle. And things looked so bad, we got scared. We was out 8 days and came back.
You went back and
spent... That was when the panic was on. Yes. I don't think you'd remember that panic.
I remember parts of it.
About it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it looked bad to us. We intended to go to Frisco. We didn't even get to Frisco.
So you turned around and went back
to
the 40
right.
mile?
That's right. After 8 days. After that, we forgot the outside. I think that was 30 or 31. Well, pardon me.
Well, tell me, what did you live in the same place on the 40 mile all of these years, you and Dee? Did you live in the same cabin, or did you move to...
No, but, that was another deal when we first went there. I didn't have a fit place for Dee to stay for winter, but I finally built a good cabin. We had two or three different cabins. I've had cabins up there that's rotted down since. The walls would be standing yet. So, we built it. I don't mean an elaborate place, but comfortable.
Yes.
And that would, I don't know why it is, I've never seen anyone so contented.
She loved it in the 40 mile.
She sure did. Somebody drove up and I just wondered.
Are you going to have company?
No, I don't think. Somebody see...
Going next door to see, yeah. Ira. That's Ira's dog barking. I can hear his little dog,
There's two or three little dogs.
Little Pekingese. That, he said that it looked unusual to me to see an old-timer like Ira with a Pekingese. And he told us how he was keeping the dog for a friend who was sick. Then she died. And so he has the dog. Nice little dog.
Oh, yeah. And he's
nice little pet.
Boy, he's watchful, too.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, we had a lot of experiences I couldn't begin to tell you, you know.
Tell me if you ever had to shoot any bears.
You live on that 40 mile almost 70 years and not shoot a bear.
You shot plenty of bears then.
I've even had a bear down me one time.
down you?
But I was fortunate. I had a chew of tobacco in my mouth. This is one night in June. I was headed back over the hill. The river was too high to take the boat. And I'd been at the post office. And somewhere around midnight, gets a little dusky, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a little rustling behind me, and I looked, and here was a brownie coming right to
me. Brown bear?
Yeah. Well, there happened to be a little burnt spot. Some fire had started. It was a burnt birch. I looked for a club or something. I didn't have a gun on me. Plenty of guns in the cabin, but I was within about 2 miles of home. Yeah, 2 or 2.5 miles. Coming down off the hill towards the river. And I says, here, what's the matter with you? I picked up a piece of stick, but it was charred, crumbled.
Yeah.
It had been burnt. And reared up, and I felt of its too flabby, you couldn't hurt it. I didn't know what else to do.
You felt his arms? He was that close?
Yes.
His legs?
Yes, sir.
Four
legs. I was talking to it. And I knew nothing else to do, but I lied down on my back. And I had a pack on my back full of papers and magazines and so on. Papers, anyway. And I knew nothing else to do. Well, she put a paw up here, one paw, and a mug right against mine. Now, this is no tale, it's a fact. I had to chew it back in my mouth. I spit it right out at her. And believe it or not, that's all. She seemed to disappear. I closed my eyes. Seemed to disappear. Opened my eyes on the side hill. I looked down. She was backing away. I guess it was the tobacco.
Yeah. She was backing away from you?
Backing away. She was fully 50 feet away when I... Still backing. No dream, this is as true as I'm here.
As true as you're sitting here. I believe you. That's an unusual...
Well...
Did you ever talk to anybody about that and get an explanation?
No, but it must have been the tobacco that scared
her. Oh, yeah, the tobacco.
Mug right against mine.
But maybe she got some tobacco in her eyes, you suppose?
I couldn't tell you. Anyway, she was still backing away. I didn't want to move too fast, but I had some loose matches in my pocket. I knew it. I reached for a match and reached back to get a paper out of the pack sack, and I lit it. And I was just as brave as she was then. I would say she, I think it was she. But I'll tell you the reason. When I did get home, a couple of miles downstream, I said, "Dee, get up." It was after midnight, Jim. Or around midnight. We're going after a bear. Of course, I could get a gun then. Well, she got ready. Oh, she was always keen for anything like that. And stepped outdoors, it was raining, so we backed out. Well, she spared my life. I spared her.
Yeah. But it was a big brownie.
Well, I wouldn't say it weighed a ton or more, nothing like that.
But they're bigger than
I would judge 400 or 500 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But whatever scared her, I'll tell you this, I did. I shook her, you know, when she raised up. Oh, seemed so flabby, like, you know, he's trying to hit her. If it had a club, might have hit her in the head. And,
made her mad.
But that piece of stick, that just crumbled away.
Yeah. Holy smoke. That's some story.
Well, it's true as I'm here.
Well, you said you had gone to the post office.
That's right.
What was the name of the post office?
Steel Creek.
Steel Creek Post Office. Yeah. And that was, how many miles from your cabin then?
Over the hills, it must be about 20, 25 miles. But by the river, it wasn't near that long.
You were walking that day, though.
Oh, sure.
Well, after that, did you carry a rifle?
I tell you, I very seldom occasionally I'd pack a rifle. Most people did. But once in a blue moon I would. Oh, we'd go sledding with dogs and sled. I might put one on the sled. But I hate to pack a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly necessary. I've seen a time or two that I missed not having one, but it's quite a job packing a gun everywhere you go.
Well, the bears that you had to shoot, did they come to your cabin and,
that's right,
and
most,
get in your cache?
Mostly, yeah. Mostly. Or one or two that didn't get to the cabin but still had to shoot them. Or wouldn't had to. The bear is not so bad.
No.
Yeah, most of that I did kill was right around the cabin.
Well, did you and your wife go to Dawson or Circle for your supplies every summer? Or where'd you get your supplies?
Well, sometimes we ordered our own. Well, we didn't order. We'd go to Jack Wade. That's about, I'd say 40 miles from where we lived. That was where the Big Nuggets used to be. You probably heard of it.
Yes. Did you go down the river?
And up river.
Up.
And then over the hill. Then over the hill. Well, there was a commissioner there, if I can think of his name. Had his name on my tongue, on my mind a minute ago. Anyway, he'd order from outside different people on 10% commission.
Reel 4, Ed Janot, July 6, 1973, in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Ah, good night. If I told all...
told all your tales, it would take all day, I'll bet, or longer.
It would.
Yeah. Well, did your wife ever have to get back to the bears for just a minute? Did Dee ever have to shoot a bear to protect herself?
No, never did. She packed a gun, too, a 30-30, for not many times, so...
But then you had a dog team most of the time when you were there, didn't you?
Never a big team. Three dogs at most.
Mm-hmm. Did the bears ever bother the dogs?
Never. No. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, there's one that had... that was Bingy, I guess. Yeah, good leader, Bingy. The only dog I've seen that wasn't scared of bear. Most of them are scared of them.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to be with him, but I had the gun that time, too. And it was pretty thick timber. They got a glimpse of this. That was a brownie. And, the bear glimpsed us, too. And then hid back in the trees with thick brush. I said, "Bingy, go get him." And believe it or not, he did love that. He got him out. Well, just so I could
shoot him.
See him, and I was ready for him, got him. And another time, there was a, we were out of meat. Well, I built another cabin. We were about a half a mile from the one we had previous, a brand new cabin. And Bingy began to bark. Oh, we could hear him about a half a mile. Sounded, oh, not half, a quarter of a mile. We could hear him. And I wondered what he's after. Well, I got the gun out of the... No, didn't get the gun. We hadn't moved the gun. The guns were still in the old cabin. And I went up that way to see what he's barking at. And sure enough, he had the moose right on the wood pile of the old cabin. But I had to get indoors to get the gun. Mm-hmm. And, well, naturally, the moose...
got away.
got away up the hill. It was close by, fairly steep, too. I got inside the cabin. I said, Bingy, bring him back. And I'm not kidding you, brought him right back to the woodpile.
Brought him right back and you popped him off. Fresh moose meat.
Fresh moose meat.
Well, did you use mostly moose and caribou for your fresh meat?
That's all we had. Couldn't get any of it.
Mm-hmm. Did you...
Many years.
Did you ever eat bear meat?
I've tried it a time or two, but I don't like it. It's the thoughts of it. I guess it's all right, but mm-hmm. just the thoughts of it. I've eaten it, and we fed it to the dog, but I tell you, a lot of dogs won't eat bear meat, but if you cook it, they will.
I see. How long ago did your wife pass away?
Oh, it's been about 10 years ago.
10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Did she, was she here?
9 or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And did she get sick up at the 40 mile, or how did...
All the time we were together, she never needed a doctor mm-hmm. for fully 40 years anyway. Never thought about sickness, either of us. And... I would say never spend a dime in a drugstore for nothing. Well, finally she had a stroke. We were at home, getting ready for mining. I've never been around sick people much, especially with a stroke, but I knew what happened. Late in the evening. Well, bedtime. I knew what happened. Boy, if you don't think... Oh, the year before that, I'd heard of people having checkups and so on. I figured now Dee's going to have a checkup. She wasn't used to doctors any more than I was. Well... I told her, we're in town here. Dee, you'll have to go and see the doctor and have a checkup before we go home. It's in the spring. What do I want a checkup for? Well, I told her, we're not going home unless you have a checkup. They tell me people need them. Well, she decided. Finally got back, she saw Dr. Shadle. She slapped a purse on the table. She said, now, you're satisfied? It cost $40.
Holy smoke.
Yeah. Well, I figured it wasn't the cost I was after, but she was stingy as I was. Oh, she had good traits, no kidding. Yeah. She didn't like that $40.
So you and Dee never had any children?
No.
No children. Well, then she got a stroke when you were out at the 40 mile.
No, right here. Oh, yeah, on the 40 mile. And I ain't kidding you.
Well, how did
I never, that was one of the times I never felt so bad. We had a man, but he'd gone to town, and he was due back in a week or two. And we were by ourselves then. Oh, we were mining about a mile below the cabin in the tent. Big, nice, well-fixed. And that was after bedtime. Oh, she ate too heavy a meal, I knew. Mm-hmm. Very heavy that supper time. Because we both worked hard and eat heavy. And that was the first day I ever saw her when she needed a doctor. That was when had that checkup. Nothing, couldn't find anything wrong. That was a year before.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I don't think those checkups, anything to them.
Well, when she became so sick then, did you take her out of...
Well, I had a tough time, and I'm not lying to nobody. Didn't know what to do. Nobody there. Plane was due the next day up on the hill. The river was high, real high, the 40. That 40 mile down the part we were can raise 35, 40 feet overnight. It raised 2 feet an hour when she raised it. And down to Canyon on the Canadian side, she raised 100 feet.
Through the narrow canyon.
And rough and rocky. Well, naturally, I made out big sign in a plain view where the plane would go over the next day. Help. Out of oil barrels. And empty oil barrels. And I built a big fire, kept the fire going, so I'd have it when the plane flew over. Frank Barr was flying there. Well, when he did fly over, it'd been an awful job there to cross the river. At that stage of water, the river was already high. And I figured he saw it because he dipped his wings. He landed on a field that was across the river on top of the mountain because it was pretty rough there, he had to build on top. And I figured he saw it. Pretty soon he come back. Evidently, that's all we heard of. I was relying on him. Waited the next day. Didn't show up. I had to fix a rig to get her to Eagle. Well, it took me another day or two to
fix the boat.
Fix the boat, because I had that canyon to go through. They called it a raft, but whatever they called it, anyway, I fixed it as comfortable as I could for her, covered and everything. I knew what I'd have through the canyon, especially in that stage of water. And, could have saved a day or so, but I figured he saw that sign, bring some help, no help. Anyway, I fixed a good rig and never got one drop of water on it. Oh, when we, after got it loaded in the boat, ready to start, I fixed a hood, you know. And where my place was, I sat on top of the cover, had the whole thing covered with a big tarp, so no water could get in there. And of course, all I could do when get to the canyon, use a pole, keep it from the bank, have a tendency to drive you right in the bank.
Yes.
And got through. Oh, before I got started, she began to holler. I knew what the score was. She couldn't get air. So I had to make a big hole in the
tent.
Yeah.
The cover.
That's right. I knew what the score was. I hidden the door on account of the canyon. I knew I had to go through the canyon. Well, we made it to Eagle. Oh, as soon as we got through the canyon, I ripped the sort of open it up, give him more air. Got through. But I was all night getting to Eagle. And the plane was due to Eagle that day. Fortunate there. And, well, they had, Horace Biederman, I think it was, tenant to everything there. He got word that they wouldn't be in till about 2 a.m. on account of the weather. And sure enough, 2 or so in the morning, we got away. Couldn't land in Fairbanks.
Mm.
It was so...
Bad weather again.
Bad weather. You couldn't see the ground. And he had to fly back to Circle.
What month was this?
Summertime.
August?
Early in the summer. No. Early in this, because...
In June, then?
Must have been June.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it was bad weather. You couldn't see the ground. Went back to Circle, stayed there, and there was a doctor in. Well, this guy telephoned to a doctor and lived about 10 miles out of there, so I forget his name. He come over, we were in one of those cabins there, examined. He's supposed to have been a doctor, I don't know if he was or not. And I think he got pinched for practicing.
Oh.
I forget his name. An old country guy. But he was practicing medicine all right, without a license. Well, they can be awful funny people. I don't know what countryman he is. Talked English all right, but you could see it kind of broken. And he left some little pills. Well, he probably made it worse than it was. He says, give her one every half hour. Which I tried to do. And he'd be back in the morning, 8 o'clock. If she's alive, then she'd be all right. Them guys, you can't believe all this.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a very good doctor to me.
Well, that's just about what he said.
Well, then did you get your wife into Fairbanks finally?
The next day, Frank Barr came after it. How he got word, I don't know. And that doctor there didn't want to let her go. He was there at the time. Well, we loaded her up anyway. She got awful sick coming in, though, but got in. And Shiver wasn't here, but Hagman, So he's in the hospital a few days. And he had all right, except one arm was a little out of kilter. She couldn't use one arm. Otherwise, she was all right.
She came out of it all right.
Oh, I asked the doctor that, can't think of this fellow. He was a baby doctor here a long time. He's here yet. I met him there.
Dr. Rebar?
Rebar. If it'd be all right, take her home. Oh, yeah, home. He thought it'd be best for her. So we got her. Her sister happened to be in Chicken at the time, and her husband. And, they were taking her history. She's supposed to have had rheumatic fever when she was a child.
Oh, I see.
So I didn't believe it. I said, Dave never had rheumatic fever. She, yes, I did. Well, I asked her sister then as soon as we got Chicken. Mm-hmm. Did Dee ever have rheumatic fever? Well, sure, when she was little. Well, this doctor, I forget his name, that examiner here in Fairbanks, he's the one that said that was the cause.
So you took her back to the 40 mile?
Yes, after seeing Rebar and what he said, well, man, she craved that 40 mile.
Oh, she would be happier there than
that's what he thought. She's used to it.
Yes.
He said she'd be better off where she's accustomed to. That's what Rebar said. Well, anyway, I asked Dee's sister, first thing I asked, did Dee ever have rheumatic fever? Yes, when she was a child. Well, she got good, man. Everything but her arm never did get, left arm never got strong after that. Otherwise, walked perfect and everything.
Oh, that's great.
And enjoyed herself for six more years. Oh, no. That fall, she had another stroke. But after that, six more years, she enjoyed that 40 miles. So.
Well, was the second stroke very serious?
The second one wasn't, no, but the third one killed her.
Mm-hmm. So did she die up at the 40 mile?
No, I got her into town before she passed away.
I see. You have to bring her in by river again?
No, this time I was handy. I was visiting friends. I know what got her there. We had a hard trip making it upriver, poling boat. And she ate too heavy when we got to O'Brien Creek. Oh, man, that lady just fed us too much. Well, in the morning is when she had a stroke. But we got Eagle within an hour or so. She had a car ready and plane was due right then. Didn't have to wait long.
Oh, so you got her to Fairbanks.
Well, she lived about another week after we got to town. Mm-hmm. But never could, just paralyzed.
Yeah. Then after her death then, did you return to the 40 mile?
Oh, sure. That was the only home I knew.
That was your home.
Yeah.
And when was the last time you mined?
Oh, it's been few years, not too many, 4 or 5.
Do you still have your equipment and your cabin?
Equipment, but I sold the ground.
How about your cabin? Is in pretty good shape, or is
It probably leaks pretty bad, and we can't tell what's left in it. By now, it was leaking a little bit the last time I did. Oh, then I had another little place that I built after that. That's all tore up. They need the lumber. I made that out of 2-inch lumber. Mm-hmm. I used 1,000 feet of lumber and some others. Just a shack, you might say. But I happened to have the lumber on hand. But this was another little spot. But the cabin, well, it's probably standing. The only thing, it probably leaks like a sieve. I've got two or three cabins with no roofs on them.
Yeah. Well, of all the years you spent in the 40 Mile, were there any of the miners or prospectors you knew who really hit it rich?
Not in the 40 Mile, no. Oh, in the early days, when I remember, Chicken was about 100 miles from where I was located. But they'd come floating down the river in the fall of the year. About half would go outside for the winter. And they'd have to weigh their dust at Moose Creek. That was 6 or 8 miles downstream from where I was, Custmore. And so that they wouldn't have to pay royalty on the Canadian side going through there.
I see.
So you had to pay 10% royalty on the Canadian side.
Oh, I see. So you.
So they clear their dust. What do you know, they'd average about, I'm talking about 60-odd years ago.
Yes.
And I seen the books there at the custom office. Hardly any of them ever had more than 10,000, but 5,000, 6,000 normally.
Would that be one season's work?
One season.
Well, that's pretty good wages, 60,
40,
for those, 40 years
those
ago.
Days, yes.
You bet.
Summer
you bet.
Wages.
Yeah. Did you ever strike it rich yourself?
I tell you, there's a winter or two that I did better than any of the miners. And, but I just watched a dog in the back. not real rich, I don't mean. But I mean good, healthy winters. Where it averaged $200 a day. And them short winter days, which pretty good.
That's
for those
good money.
Days.
You bet it's good money. Well, do you have any plans to go back into the 40 Mile?
Geez, I wanted to go back the worst way. This I figured I would, but I don't get strong enough to take it. You've got to be all there.
Yeah. Do you have a friend who can take you in? You have some partner you could go in with?
Oh, no, I don't want no partners anyway, but then, no, I'd be by myself. Now, I'm not scared of taking care of myself, but the idea is I believe I can handle a boat as good as it. Well, not as good as I used to, but good enough. But my main weakness is from here down.
In your legs?
My feet.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a numbness in my feet. I guess that's the reason that doc took salt away from me. But I think that's the cause of it. I think I need that salt.
Then is that why you make yourself walk 2 or 3 miles a day, just to
that's
help
right.
your health
for
and your
exercise.
Circulation?
Mm-hmm. For exercise.
And do you walk downtown every day?
Well, sometimes I walk out of town, clear out of town.
So you're still pretty active.
Huh?
You're still pretty active.
Well, not as active as I'd like to be, man. I tell you, I'm used to walking. But,
Well, Mr. Jano, I've kept you long enough today, and it's past your lunch.
Well, I'm sorry that I haven't given you any news.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm gonna keep my promise. I'm gonna bake that rhubarb pie, and I'll bring it over, and then maybe we could talk a little more. if you're willing.
It'll waste all that time for nothing.
No, this has been very interesting. My husband worked up in the 40 Mile a couple of seasons.
When?
Was in the late 30s. He was going to college here at the university.
Was he working on the dredge?
No, I don't know. I'll ask him. You know, you met my husband last night over at Ira's house. So I'll ask him. I don't think he was working on a dredge, but he's been up in that country. But he went to the University of Alaska and took mining engineering. So every summer, of course, he was out working in some mine or out for Effie Company.
Well, he probably worked chicken on the dredge. Yeah.
Maybe so. I don't think he worked on the dredge, though, over there. But I'll ask him. Did you ever work for, after you got back up in the 40 Mile, did you ever have any other partners or work for anybody after you had...
Pete Donnelly?
Pete Donnelly, that was your...
Yes, I had one partner. I didn't like that either.
That was when you got the tractor?
That's right.
Yeah. Did that partnership last very long?
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Could have lasted longer, but I wanted no more of it. I gave him the best of it just to spread up.
Yeah. Did you cut your tractor in half?
No. No, but he got the tractor, I got the pump, and so on and so forth.
I was just joking, because so many times
I wanted no more partners. But I tell you, that was, I couldn't run a cat without, I'd had to hire, I bought a cat after that, yes. Still have one.
Mm-hmm.
But Lordy knows there's very few people in that part of the 40 Mile, very few. You're surprised what crooks come through just to see.
Vandals and.
And they dismantle anything you want. It costs me more than it's worth to put that. Well, I've had two cats. No more cats for me.
No more cats. Really interesting.
Not much to me.